Thanks for joining us on the JX, and welcome to July. Topic one is hot weather, really hot weather, plus other climate extremes. The general public appears to more easily accept that heat waves and big wildfires are connected to climate change. The acceptance comes a bit harder for other kinds of extreme climate events. These are findings in research published in May out of Oregon State University. We have two of the four listed authors with us. Hilary Boudet is a professor of sociology and the graduate program director of public policy at Oregon State. Welcome, Hilary.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And Philip Mote is with us, a professor, vice provost, and dean of the graduate school at OSU. Welcome, Dr. Mote.
Thanks.
So this is not about measuring climate change or its effects so much, but really about measuring people's thinking about climate change. Talk about where you got the survey data to begin with.
Yeah, so I can take that one. I think the original idea for the research was coming out of two different areas. One was the kind of increasing scientific, you know, climate science research that was connecting increasing frequency and severity of extreme weather events to climate, and watching that literature grow. And then the other was some work coming from social scientists trying to understand how people were thinking about these events and whether or not those connections were being made, and also how much they aligned with the scientific community's assessments as well. And so actually, it's kind of a funny story how we got the data. The survey company that was that ran the survey for us, NORC, had a contest among academics with the NCAA basketball March Madness tournament. Uh-huh. And the university, all universities that had run a survey previously with NORC were invited to participate in this contest. And whichever basketball teams, women or men, went from the lowest seed to furthest in the tournament got survey questions. And so I don't even know if Phil knew that, but that's how we got these survey questions on a survey.
Success in basketball, yeah, then got you these survey questions.
Yeah, go Beavs.
That's
that
amazing.
Definitely wasn't in the acknowledgement section of the paper.
No, it was not. All right, so what you ended up with was you broke it into five different extreme climate events. Which were those, Hilary?
So we had questions about the public's confidence in attributing extreme heat, wildfire, extreme rainfall and flooding, hurricanes, and tornadoes. Those were our five event types that we asked about.
So rainfall and flooding as one, and then hurricanes and tornadoes as separate ones each.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Phil, people had to assign their own values of confidence. Talk about that.
Well, I guess I'll talk about that. Okay. We asked them on a scale of five, from not at all confident to extremely confident in the connection of the increasing frequency and severity of these events to climate change.
Okay, and I mentioned at the outset what the results were, but so give the scale then, which ranked the highest in confidence that those extreme events were connected to climate change?
Yeah, it's kind of what you might expect. You know, our heat events, the extreme heat and the wildfire, were the ones that people were most confident in connecting to climate change. And then after that, it was extreme rainfall, flooding, and hurricanes, and the least confident was around tornadoes.
Interesting. So, you know, the numbers were not terribly impressive, I have to say, at least in terms of when you're thinking about, you know, great confidence. What was the highest confidence number that you had?
Well, I'd have to look that one up. You're getting in my memory.
My recollection from my own notes is that you nothing got above like a 47% confidence level and extremely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if my memory serves, yes.
Uh-huh. So was that a surprise to any of the researchers? I mean, not even a majority were very or extremely confident connecting heat waves and fires to climate change?
I'm not necessarily. I think when you're asking about this kind of very specific information, the public has varying opinions, and so you have to take that into account.
Do you think it's intuitive, Hilary? I mean, hot equals more heat and fires, and wet or windy is a harder case to make?
Yeah, I think in some sense, you know, if we think about kind of the original terminology around climate change as global warming and the discussions about it, I think it does make sense that you would see these hot events as more connected to climate change than some of the other types of events we asked about. But it also, you know, and Phil can talk about this in terms of what the scientific community, and that's part of the reason we wanted him to be part of the paper, because he's been very active on those assessments from the scientific community about connections.
And
isn't it true that something like 30% of Americans still don't think climate change is even happening, and another 20% don't think that humans are responsible? So that gets you to about 50% that think humans are responsible. Are those numbers about right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been changing pretty rapidly in the last few years. So, but there's still significant portions of the population that aren't thinking that climate change is happening or that it's human caused.
And some of Hillary and Chad's earlier work, which sort of set the stage for this work, examined how people's views about climate change are affected both by their politics, but also by their personal experiences. And that was one of the really surprising findings about this, although it wasn't surprising if you read the earlier paper.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that was always nagging me from that previous work, is one of the things we looked at communities that experienced extreme weather and tried to understand whether or not they were making connections afterwards to climate change and discussing climate change more, and it resulted in more policy action around climate issues. And one of the things we found was that for event types that were the scientific community was more confident in the attribution to climate change, that those events were the ones that had more action and more discussion afterwards. But I always thought there was this missing link between how people were actually interpreting the events, and that was some of the original impetus for this work.
We are talking to Hillary Boudet and Philip Moat from Oregon State University, two of the four authors on a paper that published in May about public and scientific attribution of extreme climate events to climate change. I noticed a third of the people in this survey don't have any confidence that the frequency and severity of tornadoes has anything to do with climate change. That seemed like a high number that would just sort of categorically rule it out. Phil, you were starting to get into some of the public numbers there. There's still a fair amount of holding out, you're saying.
Yeah, and in the case of tornadoes, well, I want to back up a little bit and stress one of the really interesting findings of this study, which is that exposure to these extreme weather events didn't really shift opinion among self-identified Democrats very much, but it did shift opinion pretty substantially among self-identified Republicans in that if they had personally experienced an extreme weather event, they were much more likely to agree that humans were responsible. In the case of tornadoes on the scientific side, I mean, the jury is still out about whether human-induced climate change is even affecting the frequency of tornadoes. If you think about the fundamental alteration to Earth's energy budget is on a global scale. You know, we're increasing the amount of heat-trapping gases, and it's very much a global-scale phenomenon. And the more you get down to fine scale details, like the exact behavior of a thunderstorm, whether it spawns a tornado or not, those are such complex factors and so far removed from that direct alteration of the Earth's energy budget that it's much harder to find a physical connection. I mean, we can sort of generally say that a warmer, moister atmosphere simply has more energy to burn into things like hurricanes, which we do see. And it sort of stands to reason the same would happen with tornadoes, but you know the scale is 1,000 times smaller with tornadoes, and so it's really a scientifically difficult case to make.
That seems like a fairly important parsing. Then, that on the one hand, you can say, well, yeah, more strange things are going to happen as the Earth gets warmer, but specific events are harder to connect. That you're saying,
right. Mm-hmm.
Well, and then just in general terms, Phil, how far are the public numbers from the scientist numbers on some of these things on the higher end of confidence, like wildfire and heat?
Yeah, we found that the confidence level around heat was pretty similar, and that's, you know, it's a simple phenomenon. It's easily measured by temperature. Wildfire is much more complex because it's not directly a climate effect. Climate can influence the likelihood of wildfire. You have a long, hot, dry period, it dries out the fuels. But unless you have an ignition source and enough days of weather that's favorable for fires, you might have very favorable fire weather before an ignition and then not after. And so the same conditions might or might not lead to a really large fire. And we also only have records of fire area burned going back, I mean, that's the only variable we have going back before about the mid-80s. So with a single metric of area burned, there might be attributes of the fire that we're simply not measuring. From a scientific standpoint, to understand a human connection to wildfire, we need some really solid physical modeling, and that's kind of the weak point in making a scientific case that humans have changed the amount of wildfire. Certainly, the amount of wildfire has gone up, the amount of fire weather has gone up, but the strict scientific approach that scientists use to this question of attribution requires having a really solid biophysical model, which we're still not quite there with fire. But, you know, if you only look at fire weather, it is pretty clear. And so one of the things that we said in the paper is that, you know, there's sort of this disconnect between the scientific attribution and the public attribution regarding wildfire. But maybe the public isn't actually so far off because, you know, if you only look at the fire weather, there's a stronger scientific case. It's just that we tend to go all the way to whether a fire occurred or not.
Philip Mote and Hilary Boudet are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, two of the four authors on a piece of research published in Climatic Change back in May called Comparing Public and Scientific Extreme Event Attribution to Climate Change. So, Hilary, the breakdown of these answers you got would appear to indicate, on the public policy side, more work is needed. Any particular ideas on what kind of work would go on from here to try to, if there was any effort to influence these numbers, change them, get people to know more about climate change?
Well, I think one of the things that we talk about in the paper around this topic is that, you know, I think the public is ready for a more nuanced conversation about the link between climate change and extreme weather events by type. So I think for climate change communicators to start to make those distinctions, the public is already making them. So to help the public along in making those distinctions, you know, in your previous question, you asked about some of the levels of particular events. I think one of the important points to make, though, is that across all the events, we are seeing 5 out of 6 Americans at least making some connection between climate change and extreme weather events. And so I think there's something to build off there as well.
Philip, there's a whole field, as I understand it, extreme event attribution. Is this within the science fields?
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's already a lot of what we're talking about here going on the science side, but now you did mention some differences in demographics before about Republicans and Democrats, but also something about proximity. Talk about how people experiencing events can play into their level of confidence that these are things that are related to climate change.
Well, so I can take some of that. I think that's one of the key findings here is that those who report more negative impacts from extreme weather events are also more confident in their attributions of those events to climate change. And not in this research, but in other research, we have seen that this type of perception and attribution to climate change can result in more support for things like climate mitigation policy and other efforts. And so I think that would be an important piece here in this conversation.
Any ideas about where to take the research from here? I have to believe you might actually be using some of the same survey data again.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're working on right now is more of a panel survey. So we're talking to the same people over time about their experiences with extreme weather and seeing how that, you know, maybe cumulative experience may change views and connecting more readily to policy preferences. So stay tuned for more results on that front.
And I think I asked the question a different way earlier, but I mean, were there any real surprises in what you pulled out of this information, Hilary?
I mean, I think to Phil's point about the relationship between partisanship and negative impacts. So this idea of the moderating influence of experiencing extreme weather on Republicans' attribution of those events to climate change is a really interesting finding and one that we found kind of consistently across various studies. And since that, you know, the issue of climate change has become quite partisan, the idea of being able to influence Republicans' views on this issue is an interesting one.
It's also tragic that it takes extreme events to overcome a reluctance to accept the science.
Right, yeah. An experience with something that happens can certainly convince you that it does happen. So, yes, well, certainly not the last we've talked about climate change here. This piece is called Comparing Public and Scientific Extreme Event Attribution to Climate Change, published in Climatic Change in May with four authors, Hilary Boudet and Philip Moat from Oregon State University are two of them. Thank you, Hilary.
Thank you.
And thank you, Philip.
It's been a pleasure.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We'll be back.